this isn't just about horsepower.
It's about the culture behind the wheel.
From the latest automotive headlines,
to the machines we love, to the music, movies, and moments driving in the lifestyle.
This is Driveline with Justin Basic. If it's got an engine, an attitude, or a story worth telling, we're on it. Call in. Leave your take. 833-3DL-SHOW. This is Driveline. So let's strap in and let's roll.
Driveline, back at it again. The show where we talk about whatever I want to talk about, and four out of five times it's cars, so we call it Sort of Car Show. This episode I've been planning for a while, for a good year abouts, before I even had a name for the show. 2 years ago on this day, June 11th, 2024, we lost someone special, Paul Bryan. I started working with Paul at WLS in Chicago back in 2013, where he hosted a Saturday morning car show called Drive Chicago. I was working a rotating schedule and produced his show a couple times and initially found him a little intimidating. But we quickly developed a rapport and I started producing his show on a weekly basis all the way up until it was quietly canceled shortly before I moved here to Los Angeles. Paul was a good friend of mine, and though working on his show, he taught me how to make good radio, and he expanded my interest in cars well beyond American trucks, which I was primarily interested in prior. He inspired me to pursue several attempts at automotive journalism, which started as YouTube videos and blog posts back in 2015, my 6 years of automotive photography, and the show I'm doing today. As I've said before, the drive and driveline is a direct tribute to Drive Chicago. Paul had a fascinating career and may truly be the most interesting man. Here's the obituary published in the Chicago Sun-Times. Paul Bryan's signature baritone was a fixture to millions of radio listeners in Chicago for decades. He mostly talked about his favorite thing, cars. As the host of the Saturday morning program Drive Chicago for more than 20 years on WLS AM, he took listener calls and discussed everything from hubcaps to automotive nostalgia. He stayed away from troubleshooting car problems. He wasn't good under the hood. Mr. Bryan died June 11th after a short illness. He was 73. If you grew up in Chicago, you know my dad's voice, his daughter Leslie Durkin said. While at WLS, his colleagues Steve Dahl and Gary Meyer occasionally imitated Mr. Bryan's famous voice on their show to great comedic effect, something I can relate to all too well. Sometimes Mr. Bryan joined them. Mr. Bryan drove a different car every week for years because manufacturers constantly delivered various models to his Medina home to test out and hopefully talk about. As for personal vehicles, for a long time he was a Corvette guy, but in recent years he motored around in Helga. The name he gave his red Porsche 911 Carrera. All his cars got names, and German cars got German names. Paul Bryan Warhanek, which I hope I'm pronouncing correctly because I don't think I've ever said that name out loud before, was born on February 6, 1951 in Chicago. Both his parents owned hot rods. Mr. Bryan realized the allure and effect cars could have at a young age. I think it was that cars offered me equal footing to the jocks when I was a kid, to be honest, he told media journalist and former radio producer Rick Kempfer in a 2008 interview. When he was 16, Mr. Bryan's older brother drove to Florida to visit a girlfriend. Mr. Bryan hitched a ride so he could check out the time trials at the racetrack in Sebring. He brought a camera and a press pass he obtained from his hometown newspaper after pitching them a story about racing. Shortly after he arrived at the track, a guy came up and said, "Kid, I just lost my photographer. If I feed you, give you a tracksuit and lodging for the week with the rest of the crew, will you shoot me and my team?" The man posing the question was famed automotive designer and race car driver, Carroll Shelby. Yep. Mr. Bryan took the deal and came to view Shelby as a close friend and mentor, his daughter said. The encounter also sparked his love for automotive journalism. Mr. Bryan bounced around the media landscape before working at WLS. Mr. Bryan worked at WGN-AM in a variety of on-air positions. One was covering pregame shows from Soldier Field during the Bears Super Bowl championship season. The coldest I've ever been in my life was sitting on some concrete slab for the Super Bowl championship and celebration in Grant Park, doing the remote on what had to be the coldest day of the year, Mr. Bryan said in the interview with Kempfer. For several years in the early 1980s, he left radio and traveled the United States as a communications director for the Alfa Romeo IndyCar team. He had an office at the company's headquarters in Milan and took cooking classes in Italy. He put his skills to use while traveling with the team in the U.S., where he served as team chef, regularly having wheels of cheese and pounds of meat sent to racetrack towns around the country that lacked decent Italian restaurants. Mr. Bryan also headed up communications for the Chicago Auto Show from 1994 to 2012 and loved serving as a guest announcer for races held at Road America in Elkhart Lake, Wisconsin. Mr. Bryan graduated from Elgin Academy and studied journalism at Drake University before enlisting in the Army. He served for 4 years in the Panama Canal Zone as Director of Communications for the Armed Forces Network, which oversees television and radio for American service members. One of his first jobs after he was discharged was with WYEN Radio in Des Plaines, Illinois, which ended abruptly after he told an inquiring listener on the air that the station's call letters stood for "Where You Earn Nothing," Mr. Bryan said in the 2008 interview with Kempfer. For nearly the past 10 years, Mr. Bryan served as regular co-host of His Turn, Her Turn, a car-centric show on YouTube alongside automotive industry expert Lauren Fix. And we're going to talk to Lauren in a few minutes about Paul. One of his favorite lines was, "Always entertaining and sometimes actually informative," said Fix, who test drove cars around the world with Mr. Bryan, including in Iceland and Portugal. He was a legend in the industry, and he helped a lot of other people along the way, including myself, Fix said. I've been going through my archives because I still have a handful of episodes of Drive Chicago saved. I actually am really kicking myself because before the show got canceled, I made a point to download and save as many episodes as I could before they were removed from the WLS website. And somewhere along the way, I lost them all. I don't remember if I put them on an external hard drive or my long-canceled OneDrive, but they never got saved. But across all of my digital clutter, I have 6 episodes of Drive Chicago with Paul Bryan saved. And aside from that, I only assume the show has lost media. Anyway, here's a little bit from August 8, 2015. I pieced it together. It's about 8 minutes long. I'm just going to play it as is, without any of my little interjections and comments. I think it really captures how I remember the show.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to this week's edition of Drive Chicago here on 89 WLS. WLS, if you're the Polish Gold Coast out near Midway.
No particular place to go.
So anyway, this morning, what are we going to do? I mean, you know, heck, we've got our hour. I'm your humble and obedient servant on the topic of automobiles, and we're going to talk about that up until 9 o'clock this morning, a little bit later on in the show, about 8:35 after the news at the bottom of the hour. Lauren Fix is going to join us with a listage of great picks for teen drivers that she has assembled. And I was putting together a little promo pick for Facebook last night because I wanted to promo with Lauren coming on and Tom Appel coming on, who's going to join us here in just a moment. Hi, Tom. And I saw, I just did a little Google search, and I said, okay, I need a pictures of teen drivers. And so I just Googled teen drivers, and these pictures came up. And I went, my God, they're children. They're babies. And then I realized that it was about, 2-3 years ago that, well, let me put some perspective on, I mean, you always hang on to your youth. I had to go out and get a new sticker for the license plate for Fräulein Helga for my car. And I went out to the Lombard Secretary of State office there, and I realized that, and this woman said, come on back and visit us sometime. And it was something that we needed to get fixed. And she said, come back and visit anytime. We'll get this fixed for you. I said, okay, great. I said, she said, you know how to find us. And I thought about it. And in that second, I realized that that was the room, that was the building in which I took my very first driver's license exam and got my first license during what would have been, what, the Johnson administration? I think so. It was a long time ago, anyway. I said, you know, that's a long lease that the Secretary of State has had on that building. The landlord's got to be a pretty happy guy. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the second half of Drive Chicago here on 89 WLS. Paul Bryant, your humble and obedient servant with you for another half hour of Rock'em Sock'em Radio. That's what we do here. The Rock of Chicago, 89 WLS. Hey, you know what? I'm just thinking about this. 2 weeks from yesterday, this is going to be on the 21st of August. If you want to come join me and Medal of Honor recipient Al Lynch, the Lynch Foundation, a whole bunch of people, we're going to be doing a golf outing up in Marengo at a great golf course, and it all benefits the Lynch Foundation. Go to ajlynchfoundation.org to help some people and meet one of our genuine national treasures with Al Lynch, who the only birdies that Al shoots, oddly enough, is with a 12-gauge, but we're going to trust him with a 3-wood as well. We'll see what happens there. So, Lauren, I mean, you're ready to come shoot birdies.
Sure, absolutely.
I know. She's a gun chick, ladies and gentlemen. I know. Lauren Fix.
I've got to get them from where I live to where you live. That's the big challenge.
The answer is on ice.
Right, exactly.
That's the exactly. Lauren Fix is the car coach. You know her, you love her. She's with us a couple of times a month. Today's the day to do that. Normally we talk about stuff that we've driven. You and I were both out in Tacoma, Washington this week, driving something that we can't talk about yet.
Nope, not yet. Not till the 17th at midnight.
Zip it, zip, zip, zip
nope.
It.
No, it's just a truck. That's all I can say.
Don't.
It's a truck that we put pictures up. We do have pictures.
We
up.
Put pictures, and then later on today we're going to put up a little video of this truck that actually extricated itself from being buried in sand up to its door rails.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It was pretty awesome.
You know what?
I'll tell you what. I hope I never find myself in that position that I need to do that.
But boy, howdy.
If I did, this would be the vehicle to do it with, I guess.
You need a big local construction company with backhoes to do, at least on my car, what that truck was able to do on its own. And we'll show you what we mean. And that was actually approved for us to put out there on our YouTube channel with a whole slew of video reviews of a bunch of different cars. What have we got coming up here? What's
oh, my goodness. I'm trying to think.
There's a bunch.
We've got so many. We got the Toyota Tacoma coming up on August 17th. But I think our editor's got a couple more still in the hopper.
Okay.
And, you know, we do so many. I've got a Mini Cooper, John Cooper Works video coming up. I'm trying to think what else. My gosh, there's so much in the hopper. I just looked at it last night briefly before I crashed and burned for the night. And it was realizing we got a lot of work in front of us. We're going to have lots of new videos, lots of new pictures, lots of new content.
And then at the end of the month,
you and I are going to be driving the BMW 7 Series.
How are they going to do that? I'm trying to figure that out. We're going to go to New York and drive the new BMW 7 Series, and I'm thinking, I don't want to sit in traffic.
Take you out to New Jersey or out to Long Island.
I
bet you they're taking us out to Montauk at the end because they want to know if we minded riding in a helicopter. So, yeah, I'm in.
Only if we come out the side door.
Yeah. Oh, God, listen, I'm not jumping on any planes.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, listen, let's put a little...
I'm working on it, but that ain't on a lift.
Yeah, I know. You'd love it.
I guess maybe when I was younger. But...
You're still in your blossoming stage, so, you know, relax.
Yeah, so don't forget at the end of the month, though, you and I are going to be at Road America for the Trans Am.
Yes, and there's the big Tudor race up there this weekend. I think I'm going to drive up there tomorrow for that.
Yeah, it's a short drive for you. It's 12 hours for me.
Well, you see, if you had your own helicopter, you could just go there and do it, fly or fly
Lear.
Back.
I want a Learjet.
Atta girl.
Anyone would like to give me a Learjet with a pilot, I'm in.
Just start a foundation.
Right. Hillary, I got it.
There you go. Let's talk to Ron in Sycamore. Ron, good morning. You're on WLS.
Would you tell the kielbasa story?
Tell the kielbasa story. Which kielbasa story?
That's when you took that
that's like asking Henny Youngman.
The guys to Myrtle Beach.
When I took kielbasa? No, it wasn't in Myrtle Beach. It was to Noonan, Georgia.
Okay.
All right. I'll get around to that.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Love your show. Bye.
Thank you, sir. Bye. Got to tell the kielbasa.
I can't imagine. Knowing you, Paul, I'm sure it's a good story.
We took a bunch. We took a bunch of Polish sausage. Phil Kozin, who used to be the publisher of Chicagoland Golf Magazine, died a couple of years ago, my longest and dearest friend since grade school. And we always got beat up by Sister Roberta at St. Louis. So we decided we're going to go down with Frank Jemsek from Cog Hill, and we're going to play at his course in Noonan, Georgia. So he's got a bunch of guys down there, and they say, well, bring Polish sausage. So Phil and I were trying to figure out how we're going to haul all this Polish sausage down to Noonan, Georgia. So we froze it into sticks. And then we put it into our carry-on baggage, and we put it through security, and we said, you know what? That looks like dynamite. And we went to the security guy, and it went right through. And we said, hey, did you see anything funny there? It looked like dynamite. He says, no, that's Polish sausage. We see that every day. All right. You tweeted Lauren Fix. I tweeted the Paul Bryan. Find me on Facebook. Find Lauren. She's the car coach. You know her. You love her. I do, too. And thanks so much. We'll chat soon. Okay?
Thank you.
All right. Take care. Good luck to Paul, too. All right. We got to get out of here, ladies and gentlemen. Take care for the weekend. I'll see you up at Road America, maybe eating some corn in Lake Geneva later on tonight. Bye-bye now.
Every show opened with no particular place to go except near the end when we handcrafted together a new intro, which I think featured the exhaust note from a Jaguar F-Type, if I'm remembering correctly. And every show ended with the Green Hornet theme and Paul's signature sign-off, bye-bye now, which I have, as you know, appropriated for this show. And as Paul said, Lauren Fix was a frequent favorite on the show. I always had her saved number pulled up in my phone ready to call her. And I thought there's no better person to have on to share memories of Paul. As she puts it, Paul was the brother she never had. Lauren Fix is a nationally recognized automotive expert, media guest, journalist, author, keynote speaker, and television host. She co-hosted His Turn, Her Turn video car reviews with Paul. She's the automotive expert behind Car Coach Reports, president and board member and juror of the North American Car and Truck of the Year Awards. She's appeared on CNN, CNBC, Fox News, MSNBC, HLN, Oprah, The Weather Channel, Live with Kelly and Ryan, Good Morning America, The View, Today, 2020, Early Show, Inside Edition, ESPN, Discovery, and NPR. And she's here right now. Thank you for doing this.
Hey, it's Paul Bryan. That's all you have to say.
You were already a regular guest on his show. I started there in 2013, and you were on like every other week like you were. So mm-hmm. How long have you known Paul, or did you know Paul?
I met Paul for the first time, he doesn't remember, in the 90s. So in 1996, I was on the Oprah Winfrey Show as her automotive expert. And they said, oh, we'll get you on some local radio. And I'm like, this guy I was working with who's a weirdo. And I said, okay. Like, and he goes, I got you on WLS with Paul Bryan in the car show. I'm like, okay, like I knew who he was. And he doesn't remember this. So we did a little shtick, a little talked about, you know, cars or whatever. And that was sort of it. And then I didn't run into him until he was running the Chicago Auto Show. And he was always the big guy. If you want tickets to the breakfast, you had to go find him. And I'll never forget going in there going, oh my, because you know, when you get people like that, they have this big head and you have to deal with their ego. And so like, so who is this Paul Bryan guy? Of course, he was a bigger guy. And he's like, oh, he's the guy in the chair. And I'm like, yeah, here we go. You know what I mean? And I asked for tickets and he asked who I was and he small talked with me. I don't remember. He remembers. I don't. Again, the other direction. And he got me tickets. And then I didn't talk to him for a while. Then suddenly, next time I see him, he's this super thin guy. So I didn't put two and two together. And we were both at a drive event in Las Vegas for Ford. We kind of knew each other. But we know each other. And he always likes women. So he didn't really know who I was and put it together. We start talking. He's like, oh, yeah, I know who you are. And then I'm like, oh, my God, I don't know this guy. Yeah, this is so sick. Yeah. And I said, listen, I've been doing this His Turn, Her Turn with my husband. This is in 2004. We did the first one. So maybe this was like 06. And I said, do you want to do something like that? I figured, just try it one time. We'll see if it works. And it was for the Mustang or was it the truck? It may have been the Ford Mustang for that year. And it was an event that was in Las Vegas. And he and I decided to give it a try. And we rode together. We liked each other. I said, well, and after, by the morning, I said, let's try to do something in the afternoon. It was more of like, not really a car review, more of like a chatter while driving. It's somewhere on the internet. It was kind of funny. And so we were supposed to split the cost. Of course, he never reimbursed me, but that's part of the business, I guess. It was just funny. I've known him a long, long time. And he always was funnier and funnier. And there were times he had his bad days. Mm-hmm. And those were not good days because he'll just bark at you. But I'm sure you experienced that as well.
Yep. In memoriam, you always wanted everyone to tell funny stories about Paul. Like, what are some of your more funny stories you remember working with him?
Oh, my God. Paul was always a hoot. The best thing was we would stop places, like gas stations. I love Monster Energy, and I also have food allergies, so the caffeine pushes me through. So he knows that, because one time I fell asleep in the passenger seat, and he was like, is she dead? So when I eat soy, I have a soy allergy, so I usually, if I take a 5-hour energy before it hits, like you can feel it coming on, I pull through. So there are times he's like, into a gas station, you know, run it and get me an extreme, drink it, you know, typical Paul. But then he'd always come out with something else. And I'd be looking, going, what are you eating? Like, he would eat the grossest food, the hot dog on the roller. Remember, he was thin Paul. When he was heavy Paul, he could eat it and you just got heavier. When he was thin Paul, he could eat it and it didn't affect him. He has eaten the grossest stuff ever. Gas station sushi. I'm like, you're going to die. I'm going to have to take you to the emergency room to pump your stomach. Nope, he ate it. Didn't faze him. The hot dog on the roller, the sausage on the roller. When we were in Hawaii, he got this, it's called suba, I think. It's like spam on rice. Ugh, disgusting. He ate it. He goes, you want to try to go? No, I don't. I do not. And so we used to, anytime we were in Texas, it was barbecue, always. And he'd make me go for a full beef rib, which I have fallen in love with, from a smoker, like the real deal stuff. So we would always go out, different cities. He would always, in advance, go to like diners, dives, and drive-ins. We're going for Reuben's. We're going for whatever. But then I would film him going, what the heck is Paul eating now? Because he ate in small amounts, but throughout the whole day. He always had food with him. So many great stories. I had so many people telling amazing stories. And I could probably go on for an hour with his stories. But the food was ridiculous. So we traveled all around the world. And the one story, and I do have this on my Car Coach Reports channel, was sort of a wake-up call for both of us. I think we have such a good time doing this. We're like brother and sister. So we always like to tease and poke each other. So we're in Barcelona, and we're driving around, and we're on our way back to where we're staying, which is out about 2 hours in the city called Malaga. And it's raining like crazy. And of course, the rain in Spain falls mainly on the plane, except for in Barcelona. You know, we were just, you know, sarcasm is our second language. And we pull into a gas station, like a rest area, like you would see on any highway anywhere. So I pull in and this car pulls in behind us and two guys are in it. And they're both wearing like AirPods and they're both smoking cigarettes. And I was driving and I'm looking to my left going, this is kind of weird. Like two guys are in the car together and they're both got AirPods on. Like when you ride with someone, do you not talk to them? It was just sort of like that weird feeling like there's something not right here. So the guys got out of the car and we were in the car talking, kind of figuring out what to do with our stuff. Because what we usually do is we have a pattern. One of us goes to the bathroom. The other one orders two espressos because we're both espresso coffee snobs. Then the other one goes to the bathroom and then you drink your coffee in between and then we go back out. And it was a great little system. I paid one time, he'd pay the next time. So these guys got out of the car and sat on the back of the car and leaned back and they're just talking. And I'm thinking, this is the weirdest experience. So we grabbed our personal items, which is Paul's briefcase that he always had with him, always had that leather briefcase. And I had my purse, which, you know, it was like a travel purse. And I took out this little wallet that had my driver's license, one credit card, and my phone. And the rest and everything else I put in my purse. And we put it in the trunk. It was a Volvo. It was a pre, production car. Put our stuff in the trunk, closed the trunk. And, of course, he always teased me because I would hit the lock button like 10 times. He goes, why don't you hit it 10 more times? Because you might just lock extra. So it was kind of like, yeah, thanks, Paul. Like, smart assy, right? So we go inside and these guys are still leaning in the car. And I look back and they're still there. And I'm thinking, this is kind of fishy. Like, why would you pull into a rest area, just lean in the back of a car and have a cigarette when you were smoking in the car? Like, flags are going off in my head. So we go in and we come out. And as we're walking out, their car was gone. The other two guys in the car were gone. And so we walk into the car and I go, oh my God, they were in our car. He goes, what? I go, I don't, it's like a mom thing. Like, they were in our car. He goes, no. I go, yes, 100%. They were in our car. So I go right to the back. I open the trunk. My purse is gone. I go, son of a bitch. My purse is gone. He goes, nah. I go, and your briefcase. Then he lost it. What? What? It's like, okay, what do you have in your briefcase? Are you carrying contraband or what? He, because we both had our passports. He had his iPad. I had my sunglasses. I mean, I'm just thinking of all the things that I had in my purse that are gone. And I'm like, shit. You know what I mean? But I didn't have cameras because we were going to come back and record. I don't think they took my cameras. They did not take my cameras because that wouldn't make any sense. So first thing I said is, okay, let's start looking in every garbage can. So we started looking in every single garbage can. And why Paul, who was first cab, very proud army guy, first cab, some other guy comes at us. He's wearing like a kilt. And he looks at him and he sees the back of his phone. He goes, are you first cab? In perfect English. And Paul says, yeah, this, we're in Spain. He goes, yeah. He goes, me too. He goes, what can I do for you? He says, someone broke into our car and took things. He goes, oh, that happens. They have code readers. He's telling us the whole story. Yeah, they can get your stuff. He says, you take it with you or you don't stop. Oh, well, thanks for the last minute letting us know. So we looked in every single garbage can. He offered us cash. He was really nice. He said, no. We're hosted by Volvo. I called Volvo. And they said, well, it's not a problem. You have to speak Catalan. Call the police station, make a report. I call the police station. They go, can you come to us? I'm like, us come to you? There's a crime here, not at the police station. They go, no, you come to us. I go, does that happen when someone gets murdered? Could you bring the dead body here because we don't leave? I'm like, we've never heard of this before. So we went back to the hotel and the girl took us to the embassy. That was the most interesting experience ever. So we go to the embassy and of course they pat you down. This is the U.S. embassy in Barcelona. They're only open from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Monday through Friday. I go, really? What happens on the weekend or other times? Well, you make an appointment. We'll come in. I'm like, how do you get this job? It's a 4-hour-a-day job. He goes, oh, everybody wants this job. I'm like, yeah, you're living in Barcelona on our government dollars. And you don't even work like 4 hours a day. But once we went through, they took our phones and everything. I'd called my husband. He had canceled my credit cards, the whole 9 yards, everything he could. We go through and it's like you're suddenly in front of a small version of the White House. It was the coolest experience. We come in. They separate us. They put Paul in one room and me in another, and they ask us what happened. We tell the story. Then they bring us together and ask us to tell the story again to make sure that we weren't lying. I'm like, I'm not lying. I'm like, so they gave us temporary passports, and she says, well, we need to go to the police station. I'm like, so we get to the police station near our hotel. She goes, any police station works. I'm like, but not near the one where the theft was, only just a random police station. So one near the hotel in Malaga, which is like, kind of close to where the rest area was. And we walk in and she says, in English, what's your name? And he says, Paul Bryan. And she says, no, what's your name? And I'm like, that's not his real name. That's like a stage name. So he says his real name and she says, hold on. Up on the counter, boom, is his briefcase. I'm like, what? What? And then he opens it up, inside is my purse. And I'm like, oh my God, like, how did this happen? She says it in Catalan, which is a version of Spanish, to the translator who tells us they must have taken the bag and the purse, took out what they wanted, shoved my purse in his bag, opened the window, threw it out the window, and a couple from England stopped, saw it looked funny, picked it up and dropped it at the closest police station, which was the station we were at.
Wow.
I'm like, get the heck out. So what did they take? They didn't take anything from his briefcase, which I laughed hysterically, except for a pair of plastic glasses that he had picked up from a Mini Takes the States event that said Mini on the side and they were red. Nothing. Mine, they took cash, of course. They always took cash because it's not traceable. They didn't take any driver's licenses. They didn't take any credit cards. They didn't take my passport or his passport. So now we've got two passports. That makes life exciting, trying to exit a country. They took, I had 5-hour energies because I told you I always carry them. They were gone because they don't sell them there at that time. They might sell them now. I don't know. But right now you can get like Red Bull. And they took a necklace that I had taken off. It was no big deal. It's a gear necklace I always wear. And my favorite prescription sunglasses and my Porsche design readers. For me, they took a whole bunch of stuff. For him, nothing. A pair of plastic glasses. So he was so peeved, but he was thrilled to get his bag back. So we finish our thing. We go to the airport. He goes back to Chicago. I go back to Buffalo. Now you got to go to your local passport office and explain to them why you have two passports. Because you could do nothing, but it was a temporary passport. So now you have to tell them the whole story again. So he told his story in Chicago. I told my story in Buffalo, where I live, in order to get another passport. But we did a whole video on it because the key is, hey, by the way, they do this now all around the world. They have code readers. So every time you hit lock on your key fob, yeah, you think no one's going to come in. It's a rolling code. And they can pick it up with a device that's about the size of your phone. And they can start your car.
Yeah,
if they want to.
I get ads. I get ads all the time on my socials for that Flipper Zero thing that's supposed to replicate every key card, everything, and they sell it as a convenience tool. But there's you have to be doing something bad to even want that.
Yeah, but it was so funny because for so long, Paul and I kept telling that story. Yeah, we got robbed in Barcelona, but we got to go to the U.S. Embassy, so we learned a lot. The food was always good. He used to say that he went to war for the Serrano ham. So he got me hooked on prosciutto and Serrano ham and, you know, and Iberico salami. And he was always about the eating. It was always about the food. So, but because he used to be a big guy, but he was friends with Carol Shelby, who I knew as well. We have a lot of mutual friends. He'd come to the races. My kids called him Uncle Paul. He was just a great guy and a good friend. And he knew the whole family. He came to my daughter's wedding. He officiated her first wedding. My son did the second one, but he was at the second one. But it's funny. He was a great guy and became such a good family friend. And I miss him dearly. And I still drive places and think of him. And he had been working on this deal with two of them. One was with the Blaze TV, which ended up becoming my job. So I'm right now for Blaze, which is Glenn Beck's outlet. But in addition, he was trying to get us to do this love. He always had something going, always some sort of plan, some sort of maneuver. So he convinced the leather industry that they needed to send us to Milan, Italy, where he had once worked at Alfa Romeo, to talk about leather in the auto industry. I'm like, really? You're going to swing this? It did happen through a mutual friend of ours. And when I went, I ended up taking a friend of ours, Al Vasquez, who was also friends with Paul. And we toasted to Paul in Milan saying, this is for you, Paul. We would not be here if it wasn't for you. So there's so many good Paul stories. He was just a real special part of my life.
Yeah. I mean, I think
he
about
did a
him
lot for
lot.
Me.
I worked, in the grand scheme of things, I worked with him such a short time. I mean, it was like between when I started and when they decided they weren't going to do his show anymore. I think it was like maybe 3 years, but like, I think a lot about those times.
He has a huge impact on people. Mm-hmm. The stories, and of course, he looked like a bunch of different movie stars. Like I can't think of one of them, but people would think he was somebody he wasn't, and he would play that card to the max. It was so funny. These women go, "Oh my God, I love your last movie." No, of course you go, "Well, thank you very much," and I just laugh. I'm like, "Oh my God, Paul, just tell him no." He just play that card, and he always looks suave and sophisticated, always dressed appropriately, whether on a plane or in person, always had a blazer on, always looked nice, where a lot of the journalists in the automotive world dress like bums. They still do. They'll show up in a t-shirt and jeans and sneakers. No, I don't know Paul owned a pair of sneakers. I don't think I've ever seen him wear socks or sneakers.
Yeah, it's funny because you mentioned that. I can't visualize him not in like a dark colored sport coat and not without loafers on.
He always loafers, no socks. Oh, he was the brother that I always wished I had. So it was kind of fun. And I don't have any family members, immediate family members. But he was really, really amusing. Always something. When I said, "Hey, I think I'm going to run for president, North American Car of the Year," he says, "You can do that. Remember, you only need to have 51% of the vote." I'm like, "Oh my God!" Like, he's already in it. He was in it. I just mentioned it. No, he had me already. Like, here's the plan. This is a strategy. And I'm like, "Okay, I guess I'm doing this." But he was real supportive. And as a matter of fact, North American Car and Truck of the Year would not exist today if it wasn't for Paul.
Really?
Because when I did become on the board, as secretary treasurer to begin with, this is before I kind of really knew Paul. We realized we had like $240 in our checking account. I'm like, this doesn't cover any expenses. So we were friends, but we weren't, I hadn't run for president yet. And I knew I was going to. And that, then he kind of coached me to like, you need to run for president. He says, I'm going to help you. I said, how are you going to help me? He says, I'm going to raise money for the club to keep it alive. He said, and then you're going to take the reins. And I'm like, okay, because I have a business background. I'm actually an entrepreneur. I have a couple of businesses and that do pretty good. And he's like, so he went to Bridgestone and convinced them to give them $50,000.
Wow.
Only Paul could do that. Not many people could pick up the phone and go, I need 50K. Done. Where do you want the check written? And he did. And because of that, the club exists today. When I left, that we had over $500,000 in the account because I built it so that they wouldn't, they could survive. I don't know what the current administration is doing. They're not so good with cash. They know how to spend. They don't know how to make. But it was all because of Paul. And so when I did ask everyone, and we call it NACTOY, North American Car and Truck of the Year, I asked everyone to tell Paul stories. I said, and remember, we wouldn't be sitting here today if it wasn't for him.
Wow.
So he was a cool guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wish I got to know him more because like we saw each other at the radio station and then I did the I wrote it down here because I can't remember the name, the Heroes Happy Holidays Hangover Hassle I did with him a couple of times on New Year's morning. I brought my friend out to
that one.
Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It was the it was a scavenger hunt they do. You'd meet up at Northerly Island in Chicago and drive all around the city. You had a list of things you had to find. And it was like, I remember I had to take a selfie in front of a locked bathroom. That was one of them. I had to find a credit card application from a Phillips 66 station.
Oh, how hard is that to find?
Well, there was one Phillips 66 station near Chicago, and it was in a neighborhood we really didn't want to be in, and they didn't have any applications.
Because people weren't getting credit there yet.
Nope. And then like
so
another one was like, and then another one was like a Burger King crown. So,
oh my gosh,
we got it. I think it's in the garage somewhere. I still have the sheet from it. I really got to dig it out. But we found a few things.
That's hysterical.
And then we went to a bar for lunch, and it was a fun day.
That's so Paul. He knew how to have fun. He knew how to run events, and he told me a story, and I think I have it again on my Car Coach Reports channel. I wanted all to tell stories because there's a website or a YouTube channel called Ben Wiki, and he always does car stories. And Paul has his own car stories as running the Chicago Auto Show for so many years, like 20 years. One time they wanted to do something different. So he decides to contact the military and says, I want you to bring a tank in and we're going to try and get people to sign up for the Army, Navy, Air Force, whatever, by saying you could drive one of these tanks. And the tank would be like an Abrams tank, like a big freaking tank. Like, how do you get that into McCormick Place, which is like the biggest convention center, probably the country? And he got them to bring a tank.
Wow.
And of course, the union guys are like, well, you can't bring that tank in here. I have to drive that. We don't let anyone drive in here. He's like, go ahead and figure it out. And they all looked at each other and goes, anyone here not drive a tank? No one drive a tank. So he had the guys from the military guys place it. It was hysterical. They just wanted to ride on it to tell everyone that they drove a tank. Yeah, sure, whatever. I'll jump on it if you want. But only Paul could pull off things that nobody could do. Like, if you said it can't be done, you haven't talked to Paul.
Mm-hmm.
He was always very crafty. He's missed dearly. He, you know, he went way too early. He was actually only in his late 60s. You wouldn't know it. I think he looked older because of the white hair, but he was a real character. And I know his girlfriend Pam misses him dearly. She's a wonderful person. But he left us too early. But
yeah,
he left a mark, as he said, I'm coming in home base. I'm skidding in. I'm going to leave marks. I'm like, you did that.
Definitely.
He accomplished his mission.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for this.
No problem. I do miss Paul. It's been, what, 2 years now. And
mm-hmm.
And he's on my mind all the time, especially when I travel internationally. He used to call it the Order of the Iron Ass.
So I remember him saying that.
Well, because all you do is sit. Mm-hmm. Our job, car review, everyone goes, oh, car reviews are great. Everyone wants to be a car reviewer. It's not an industry you want to be in anymore, not like it was. But basically, you sit on a plane, you get to your destination, you eat dinner, you get up the next morning, you sit in a car, you eat, you drive, you eat, you leave the next day. And it's like, all you're doing is eating and sitting. And it's a good way to gain weight. And so we call it, when you first start showing up in the business, you're really lean. And everyone's like, oh, you must be new to the business. Well, how did you know? Well, because you're in great shape. Then you get what we call the launch paunch, because these are called launches, the launch of the new. So you get the paunch, suddenly you get the little stomach, then suddenly you're a big dude because all you do is sit and eat and eat. And I was bigger too. So I'm down 25 pounds in the last year. But it's challenging because all they want to do is feed you. And I get it, because they want, it's like anything, whether you're doing the movie reviews or food reviews, any reviews of any product, they always try to wine and dine you so you'll say nice things.
What did you think of that Ferrari reveal?
Oh, I got quoted. Paul would be very proud of me. I was asked on CNN International what I thought of the new Ferrari Luce. It was designed by Johnny Ives. For those who don't know what it looks like, you can look it up. It's L-U-C-E, Ferrari Luce, I think it is. Paul would yell at me for saying it incorrectly because he speaks Italian, or spoke Italian, and it looks like a mouse. So it was light blue, like a Nissan Leaf. It's only missing a cord to plug into your computer to charge. And the whole center screen moves. It wasn't tactile. And I own a Ferrari. It's like the difference between a real Ferrari and that is night and day. They're not the same thing. As a matter of fact, I said on CNN that it was an insult to Ferrari owners. And so I didn't realize that that was going to go viral. So suddenly I'm being quoted in Greece, in Brazil, in Portugal, in Spain, in German, in English. It's like all these languages picked it up that Lauren Fix, the car coach, says that this is an insult to Ferrari owners. As a Ferrari owner, I'm like, it's an insult. And I think they know that. And now they're saying that all of them are sold. So what they did is they convinced every single dealer to buy one or two, depending on the size of the dealership. And if you said no, they took away your franchise.
Wow.
So here in Buffalo, we have a dealer that's very small. They sell, like, you know, they have like one car on the show floor. They do mostly service. And he was told that if he didn't take the car, even though he didn't want it, he said, you have to drink the Kool-Aid, tell everyone it's the best thing since sliced bread, and you have to buy one. And if you don't, they will take away his franchise. And it's very hard to get a Ferrari franchise. They're very selective on who gets it. You have to have all this, you know, credit and da-da-da-da and exposure. And so he bought a Ferrari Luce. So when they say they're sold out, that's not really true.
On my last episode, I talked about the story of they showed the Luce to the Pope. And that story itself, it reminded me of Paul. Yeah, but it reminded me of Paul because he was always telling that story about the Pope Mobile.
Oh, gosh. Yes. So Paul worked at Alfa Romeo. And so we got a chance to go back. And when he was there, I can't remember what year it was, there was a IndyCar team, which didn't do very good. As he said, the food was great, the car not so much, in Paul language. So one day he was wandering around and they said, you know, they had a meeting and they said, you know, go wander around the museum. So he wandered around the museum and he saw this vehicle and he goes, what is it? And I don't speak Italian, but he said something about the papal car. And so he's like, oh my God, it's the Pope's car. He said, can I drive it? And the guy's like, sure. It wasn't in the museum. It was like parked in cars that could be in the museum. So he says, can I drive? He goes, yeah. So Paul gets in the car and he's driving around the parking lot. Driving around this Pope Mobile. And everyone's looking at the window going, what the heck is Paul doing out there in the Pope Mobile? So that was always his funny story. So when we had a chance to go back to Alfa Romeo, when Alfa Romeo was coming back to the U.S., we'll see how long it stays. It may end up going back. He says, oh, I want to show you where my office was because, you know, we had such a beautiful view. So it takes me to the exact location. My office was here. Is currently a men's room. So when they redid the museum, they made his office a men's room. And we got a chance to go into the museum and he found a car that was his Indy car. So he crawls over the, you know, the arm, the railings, and he goes and he sits in the car and the docent flips out in Italian. No, 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 no. You cannot sit in the car. No, 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 no. He's like, this is my car. And he's looking and going, it's not your car. This belongs to Alfa Romeo. You know, so Paul had gone over and sat in the car that was the one that he took care of. Oh, my God. Paul was always get away with stuff where you and I would be booted out of the country.
That's a great story.
Paul. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, he always did something crazy. And then he made me go down to where he used to get his shoes because he wanted to buy a new pair of shoes. So we get in Milan on the train station. Of course, it's totally different than like New York or Chicago. Like, there's all these weaving paths underneath. And he knew exactly where to go. Got on the train. We get all the way into where the Domo is. And he finds his shoe store and they're closed. So now he's upset. So we have to get on the train to get back. And the trains run on time period in Italy. If you miss it by 1 minute, that train's gone. And we miss the train. Hmm. So We ended up having dinner in the train station. We each had a slice of pizza. And of course, we were late getting to back to where we were supposed to be. But I think he went down the next day and got a pair of shoes. But it was hysterical. And every time I'm in Milan, I was just there last year, I toast to Paul. Of course, I don't toast to what he likes to drink, which is that horrid, horrid, it's an artichoke aperitif. It's an artichoke liquor. I highly do not recommend it. It tastes like black licorice, but disgusting. Ugh. Like, so he made me drink it. So it was my turn to do what's Paul eating. And that's probably the only one. It's still, I think it's still on either my Facebook page or it's still on my YouTube channel. What is Paul eating? This is the Lauren edition. And he makes me drink that. I don't know what it's called, but it was, I thought I was going to lose it. I go, uh-huh. I got to shut the camera up. I'm like, I'm going to lose it. It was so bad.
I wonder if I'd like
so
it.
Don't
I'd like
drink
black,
artichoke.
I like
choke.
I kind of want it.
I love artichokes, but I don't like black licorice.
Oh, see, I do.
But not to the point that would make me sick. Oh, then you might like it. There's a name for it. But if you look it up, it's an artichoke after dinner drink that's supposed to be for digestive. Oh, no, I'm a tequila girl. I like nice tequilas, good wines. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too.
You have good taste. Yeah, Paul made me a coffee snob as well. So it's all good.
Yeah, I became one as well. Like this is like a special blend that's roasted by a friend of mine that I buy from him, and like all
nice.
These single origins and stuff. And
yes,
I have a pour
sure.
over set and I use a burr mill instead of a regular grinder.
So. Oh, you're serious?
Mm-hmm.
I have an automatic espresso machine that, and I buy only single origin beans that are organic and super clean, and they come from, you know, different places. But yeah. He's made me a coffee snob. But once you've had coffee in Germany and Italy and Spain and Greece, I mean, we've been to Costa Rica, we've been to Iceland, we've been to Corsica, Portugal. Oh my God, we've been to so many different countries. I'm missing a whole bunch. All over Italy, of course. You start drinking their coffee and you're like, our coffee sucks. Tim Hortons
it.
Is, it tastes like brown water. And we do not do Starbucks. We never did Starbucks. I have not gone back to since Paul's been gone. I could maybe drink a tea from there, but that's about it. And now I've already bypassed the whole thing. But yeah, he was absolutely, he taught me to be a coffee snob. Mm-hmm. Too funny. I miss him. I really do.
Yeah.
He always got me in trouble. There are times that he did some things. I'm like, we're going to get murdered for this. And he's like, no, we're not. And he'd be able to talk his way out of anything. I got to learn that trick. I'm not that good. Mm-hmm. I can do some things. I got away with some things. I was at the Indy 500 this past year, the closest finish ever. And a friend of mine was on the seventh floor. He says, oh, Senator Bernie Moreno's here and Sean Duffy. He says, but it's Penske Suite. You're never going to get up here. And it's one of the outlets I write for. And I said, oh, I'll get up there. He goes, how? I said, the Paul Bryan way. You stand. He was tall. I'm about, you know, 5'7". So I would stand in the back of the elevator and they were calling out the floors in what's called the pagoda, which is where all the suites are. And everyone called out. And I went and I go, 7. I didn't say anything. They dropped me off at 7. All these police officers are there, Secret Service. And I'm like, hi. You know, like you need to check in and go, oh, I'm waiting for a friend. You know? And so they finally came by and saw me. It was great. But, and I got to walk by all these police officers and meet everybody, but it was kind of, I was thinking to myself, Paul would be proud of me. Too funny. Too funny. But, you know, it's the whole thing. There's so many Paul stories and so many. He was here at the house and he showed me how to. I'd never had a cast iron grill. I was always a cast iron pan. If I grill outside, I grill. Otherwise, I cook inside. No. He had to buy a cast iron pan. He had to show me how to cure it. He was always about the eating. He showed me how to make pickled onions. And he knew everybody. He even knew people that I refused to talk to, and he would go over and talk to them. And I'm like, I'm not doing that. Not doing it. Like, there's certain people, we all know people in our lives. You're like, I'm just not going to waste my time. They're not nice people. They don't deserve my time or my oxygen. No, he'd go over and talk just to poke, 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 poke. It was just always Paul, you know? But he knew how to push people's buttons, but he knew exactly how to do it in such a way that it wasn't obvious, that if you were paying attention, you were listening to what he said, you're like, oh my God, I think he just insulted me. In a nice way. He wasn't mean. He was just, mm-hmm. He knew how to play with people really well. But I was supposed to go to Turkey and he told me I couldn't go, but I was going to go anyhow because a friend of ours had a deal in Istanbul, but I was going to be the only girl. So my husband kind of put his foot down. But he says, so if you go, this is, so we don't really know how connected Paul was with the military. So he says, if you go and you get a call during the night, you're going to leave your phone open so anyone can call you. I'm like, okay. Because you get a call during the night and someone says, leave your things and meet us at this location. You do it. I'm like, what? Like, who are you? You know, are you like 007? Like, because I'm just like, huh? Like, if you called me and said, Lauren, meet me at the square two blocks down and leave all your items. Bullshit. I'm not doing that, you know. But Paul, if Paul told you to do that, and I'm like, all right, okay. He's like, no, I'm serious. I'm like, really? Like, I thought he was kidding me. So I ended up not going. I probably should have gone.
I was
going
to say, did you go and did it happen?
No, I went to Vietnam. He did not go. That was, of course, he told me the same thing. I'm thinking, I'm with a group of people and I'm being hosted by VinFast, which is a Vietnamese car company that's not doing well. Mm. But I figured this is my opportunity to go to Vietnam. So I went. But much like Paul would say, you know, keep your eyes open. Like, what are they going to do to me? I'm nobody. You know what I mean? I'm just a troublemaker like him.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't cause that kind of trouble. He was the next level above me, I think.
On a bunch of lists.
Oh, I'm sure. But he told me he was golfing in the Middle East. I think it was Iraq. Did he tell you the golfing story?
I don't think so.
He was supposed to bring... He was hanging out with a bunch of veterans, and one of the veterans groups was going to go to Iraq just to sort of visit the guys there and just kind of pump up the volume a little bit. That was part of the first Cav. First Cavalry is always the first ones in. And he asked the guy who was in charge of the base, do you need me to bring anything? He says, yeah, I wish I had golf clubs. He goes, no, I'm serious. I'll golf. So they shipped him a pallet load of golf balls, which, you know, they'll take it. The military, they'll put it on a plane, they'll ship it there. And then Paul shipped him a set of brand new clubs that somebody donated. Of course, Paul had all those donated. He didn't cost him anything. And when they got there, they were literally lobbing golf balls over the wall to where the enemy was, but they weren't picking them up. They were just hitting balls. Like, only Paul, with a bulletproof vest on, of course, only Paul would golf in Iraq, you know, during the war. And he wanted me to go there. And I'm like, I think in that case, I'm a good pass on that, you know. But he went and took video of him golfing in Iraq. So he was an avid golfer. But I thought that was funny. I'm just not a good golfer. It just doesn't work for me. But only Paul could do some of these things. The people he knew, the places he went, the things that he did. And a chili champion as well. I have his recipe. I don't know if you've ever seen it. I think it's actually still on the His What Is Paul Eating Facebook page, or it's on the His Turn, Her Turn page, still on Facebook. I didn't take it down. His chili recipe, his famous chili recipe, which has no beans.
I specifically remember the no beans.
Yeah. Right, because if you know anything about chili, then you know there's no beans. There's no beans about, he had a whole bunch of terms. There's no beans about chili. If you know beans about chili, you know there's none. I mean, he had a whole bunch of, you know, Paulisms. Yeah, but he's missed dearly, and it'll be 2 years, June 11th, and I hope he's smiling at us, laughing and telling Paul Bryan stories.
Yeah. You're always welcome. I hope we could do this again, and if you have interesting non-Paul related car news,
Car Coach Reports is all my stuff. You can find all my interesting car news that nobody else talks about. In honor of Paul, I continued this to a whole new level, and all my car reviews are on Car Smarts. If you want to see the old Paul stuff, I think the last time we were together was back in Barcelona driving a Volvo, and he was miserable, and it was not fun. When he was having a bad day because his back was in pain, he was not a fun person, but, you know, he was the brother I always wanted, so I did whatever I could for him, just like he did for me. But if you want to see him there in His Turn, Her Turn, if you look it up, you'll find the website. If you can't find the website, you just go to my Car Coach Reports channel. I believe those are still there. They are definitely on YouTube. He was a hoot. If you want to laugh and you like his sense of humor, you got to watch him. It's really funny.
Thank you, Lauren.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Some of my own memories working next to Paul, I wanted to throw in really quick. I remember one morning he was sat down and he was telling me this story. He was wearing one of those First Cavalry Division sweatshirts with the big symbol on it with the horse. If you're familiar with the logo, it's a yellow shield. It's got a black line across it and like a horse's head. Everyone's probably seen it, but I guess he was at the grocery store, and there was this little girl in the car just staring at him. And he kind of acknowledged her. And she said to him, "Mister, why don't you like horses?" And I just, every time I see the 1st Cavalry Division symbol, I remember that story of the little girl who thought he was wearing a sweatshirt that said no horses. Christmas 2015, I was working the afternoon shift on Christmas Day playing Steve Dahl Best of segments, completely alone. I posted a couple of pics of me next to a small Christmas tree on Facebook eating what looked like Totino's pizza rolls, and I captioned it, "Merry Christmas from all of us at WLS, parentheses, that's all of us." To which Paul commented, "We can double the photo tomorrow." And we did. And I got that picture up right now on my Instagrams, at driveline.show and justback, if you want to see it. Also, a week after that, as I was talking about with Lauren, me and my friend Ian attended the Outer Drive Heroes... This is a word jumble on purpose. The Outer Drive Heroes Drivers Club Heroes Happy Holiday Hangover Hassle, as it's written. And at Paul's suggestion, we brought my recently obtained BMW E36 convertible, which I still have, although not running at the moment. But Paul really liked that car and was complimentary on my decision to buy it. He always shared personal things with me that he was going through, and he could be vulnerable with me, and I with him. I had a friend pass away unexpectedly who I'd fallen out of touch with, and it weighed on me, and I made a post on Facebook calling on people, "Don't let friends and people you care about slip away, because you never know when you won't have the chance to see them again. There isn't always tomorrow." And amongst a slew of sorries, Paul in his wisdom said, "Keep friends close. There's no guarantee that they're going to be here tomorrow. I have a few folks I need to reconnect with as well." And that comment stuck with me all these years. And I've made efforts to stay connected with him and my other friends I've moved away from, but it never feels like enough. That's Paul Bryan, the whole reason this show exists. Do me a favor. Like, follow, subscribe, leave a 5-star review. Instagram at driveline.show and just back. Your vocal questions and comments, 833-3DL-SHOW. That's 833-335-7469. We'll do it all again next week, and as Paul says, bye-bye now.